Our gospel reading for this evening is from the Gospel of John, chapter 17. We read verses 1 through 20. It is known as the high priestly prayer of our Lord as he prepared to offer himself as a sacrifice. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me. And they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them, and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the Son of Destruction, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of this world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your gospel lesson for today. In particular, these words from Jesus. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. This is our text. There's a town north of here, I think it's Reedsburg, Iowa, who has a really interesting sign welcoming people to their little city. It reads something like this: "Home of 500 friendly people, and one old grump. You know, it's awfully difficult sometimes to make some people happy. Things can be going well, but something always gets in the way of them recognizing how blessed they really are. Even old grumps, I presume, are happy now and again. But there's a difference, if you will, between being happy for a moment or two, and, if you will, having a deep-seated joy that rules your life. It's interesting how Jesus presents his prayer for us in John chapter 17, saying that he wants us to have his joy fulfilled in ourselves. And then tells us that the world's going to hate us for it. What kind of joy is this that makes people hate you? And how can you be joyful when the world's against you? I don't think joy and happiness are really quite the same thing. At least, I'm going to try to make a distinction this evening. I remember being with my wife as each of our children were brought into the world. Prior to their birth, if I asked her, "Are you happy?" I don't think she would have said she was happy. She was in pain, as most of you who have had the blessing of delivering a child. No, it is not a fun process. And it's always amazed me that so many women, having gone through that process once, dare to do it again. I think that's why God had women have babies, because if you had a man do it once, there'd be no more children. Now, there are times in life when it is difficult and painful and not easy to endure. But again, if I would have gone to my wife and said, "Are you joyful that we're having another child?" I think her answer would have been, "Yes." We, as Christians, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, have wonderful promises guaranteed to us by his own death and resurrection that allow us, if you will, to be joyful as we view our lives, even when at times it's also painful. We make mistakes in life and justifiably have guilt and remorse. But when those outside of Christ fail in their lives, they don't have the tools that we have to deal with it. Oh, they can make excuses. They can blame their failures on others. They can just try to forget about it. Sometimes turning to things like drugs and alcohol to soothe the pain. But if you will, we have another tool in the box, and it's the only one that really works. We have forgiveness. We can come into this sanctuary on a regular basis. identifying ourselves as the worst human beings, poor, miserable sinners. And what do we deserve? Well, earthly punishments, temporal punishments, and eternal hell. And yet, even as we admit that, we don't have to say it in fear or in hatred of ourselves, because there is Christ speaking through the voice of your called servants like myself, telling you that your sins are forgiven and it's a new day in your life. Your past need not haunt you. Even when we fail, we can move forward with joy, knowing that our future is bright. The world has worries as it thinks about the future. And I think in our present day and age, the world is more worried about things than it's ever been. Yes, there's things that are wrong with this world. The future, from an earthly point of view, is very uncertain. The economy could crash tomorrow. We could have nuclear war. The environment could change. But we have that promise from God that our life is secure. He bids us to not worry, but to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and declaring to us that all these things shall be yours. Yes, we have the same kind of difficulties that other people in the world have, but in the midst of it, we don't need to go with our heads down, with our hearts filled with anxiousness and worry. We can live out our lives with joy and confidence, not worried about our future, because we know our God will be there for us. And even if tragic things do happen, there's that promise that we have in Romans chapter 8, that God is at work in everything. That includes the bad things. In everything for good, for those who love Him and who are called according to His purpose. And we have, through the death and resurrection of Jesus, that eternal hope that God has given us. As our earthly life draws to a close, we might have pain. We might have difficulties. But we know that something wonderful awaits us. An eternal life with our God and with all those who have put their faith and trust in Him. We look forward to blessed reunions with those who have gone ahead of us. And we look forward to being with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How can you be joyful when the whole world hates you? The world has no answer for that question. But in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we have the answers. So don't be that one old grump. Rejoice in the day that God has given you today and tomorrow, confident in the promises that He makes to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.